So we were trying to finish up initially the issues. This is better? Consensus? Okay. So, yeah. You know, they'll just have to go back to R&D, the labs, and, you know, and do better. Either way, I think Moshe's mask is like on the horizon. It has a lot of potential. Okay. So, people have suggested that we should like change the mask according to the topic, and that somehow it should be, you know, aligned with what it is that we're learning. So creative minds, you know, are probably capable of figuring that out. Anyways, let me finish off our discussion of Bedika, and I want to start, as I say, I really want to get to Dalet Amud Beis, but I want to go through the Shaka V'Tarya and point out a few things. So let's first finish Bedika, then I'll tell you what I want in terms of the rest of it. And we want to get to the, you know, Hagdara of Bittul and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Those are really our next big topics. But we're just going to do a little quick Ha'aros, you know, on the way. But everybody should already have started and hopefully mastered, you know, the Shaka V'Tarya from, you know, the Gemara beginning, Beis Amud Aleph, through at least, we want to get to Dalet Amud Beis, but certainly till Dalet Amud Aleph, when the Gemara discusses the question of Socher Maskir, and, you know, the Tosasin and the Rambams, and I'll give you a few other little things to look at towards the end. Okay. But in the meantime, we were trying to finish off our analysis of Bedikas Chametz, and we've seen already that this is a bit of a complicated question. We've shown him answer Tosas's concerns with Rashi, right, in different ways, in a range of ways, and we've been discussing that. So I think what we're up to is just trying to finish off, you know, some of the details. Before I do that, let me just mention one other thing about the things we already spoke about. We talked about Mekor Chaim's own view, and especially his view in the end, where he found difficult. How will Tosas explain, you know, Bedika Durabanan de Bebito Bial Masogile, and Eli and I and others, you know, tried to suggest an understanding for what it is that he's trying to project for his view of Tosas, which I think is problematic for Tosas Lashitasa. But the bigger idea being that either the Gemara is just saying, you know, technically, that Bedika is Durabanan, and if Bedika is Durabanan, then obviously Bittul alone works. But the Gemara is not saying that, not implying that Bittul or the absence of Bittul would make Bedika Daraisa. That's why it's interesting that Mekor Chaim thinks that. Or even if the Gemara is saying something more fundamental, so maybe what the Gemara is saying is that a perspective which makes central Bittul, especially as Tashbisu, is inconsistent or incompatible with the perspective that Bedika is Daraisa. And the Mekor Chaim had his own way of saying this, which I found problematic in, you know, for Tosas, because he's basically explaining Tosas as if they hold like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Yehuda, and as if they hold that Bittul is a Kiyum in Tashbisu, which I think is also not correct. But the bigger idea, which is that the stand that you take on Bittul may also be consequential for your assessment of what Tashbisu is and what the status and nature of these related phenomena are, whether it's Bal Yirah or Bedika, or Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, that, you know, Yesod, and as a way to read the Gemara, I find to be very appealing. But just also to highlight, Mekor Chaim himself goes on to say that the nafkamina between these broadly, you know, formulated approaches, namely whether or not Bedika is Daraisa only because of the absence, in the absence of Bittul, would be when Bittul is no longer an option. And he himself zeroes in on Pesach, like what happens if you're motzei chametz b'Pesach, or if you have a suffek, you know, on Pesach about your mokom, you know, becoming a chametz. So the Gemara itself, in a couple of places, we're going to read them, you know, in the next couple of shiurim when we get to it, says that bedika is drabanan. The Gemara says about namanus isha, you know, that there was a bedika chametz, that the reason that we believe her is because bedika is drabanan and hemnu rabanan bidrabanan. Hemnu, you know, they were the ones who were kaveya, and they were the ones who were mamim. And then the Gemara speaks in other contexts about bedikas chametz being drabanan, right, in cases where you have certain kind of sfeikos. So the bigger idea that he's trying to portray is that if that is contingent upon, you know, whether or not you have the option of bittul, so then in a situation where bittul is off limits, like on Yantif itself, because it's la'achar zman isuro, the truth is it could even be, you know, la'achar chatzos on Erev Pesach, because Gemara says that too is a time when there's no longer bittul, as we'll discuss. So in those situations, the bedika would be daraisa. So the Mekor Chaim really believes that the nemanus question or the suffek question, where the Gemara is mekil, that would not apply la'achar yom tov, and I'm extending it even to some extent la'achar zmani sura. So that's a very important nafkamina in this larger discussion. Not only whether daraisa or drabanan, but actual nafkamina. We'll get back to that as well. Okay. In any case, we were talking about, you know, factors. That's point number one. Point number two is we were talking about factors which go into more universal pturim, like ones, like misasek, etc. And trying to demonstrate that that's part of the discussion here as well. So I just wanted to mention that, you know, we encountered something. Those of you who were in the shir a couple of years back when we learned Shuas Eidos, you know, we encountered a similar phenomenon. There too, the Rishonim are troubled. How do you have Shuas Eidos b'shogeg? And Rashi seems to say that the fellow, you know, what is Shuas Eidos? Shuas Eidos is the situation where I believe that you too know Eidim that is going to be helpful to my case, and therefore I impose a shvua like upon you, right? I demand, you know, that you either come and testify on my behalf, or you take a shvua that you are ignorant, you know, of any consequential information in this case. That's what shvuas edus is all about. So the Gemara says that shvuas edus is applicable even to shogeg. So the question is, what is shogeg? So the Rishonim say a different thing, but Rashi seems to say that the Edom don't know, or they don't remember. Like objectively, what they're saying is objectively, they knew at one point, you know, but they don't remember. So the Rishonim ask, well, if they really don't remember, then that's anus, right? That's emes, right? It's emes and it's anus, or it's at least one or the other. Right, because objectively, the fact that they, again, if they say, some Rishonim say, what it means is, I don't want to get into Shmuel Seydus right now, they say, we never knew, right? Or we didn't see. So we never knew or we didn't see, you know, is false. Although it still might be anus if you don't recollect, right? The memory is gone, right? But certainly if you say, I don't know, which you know, is some views, right, that seems to be both honest and onus. Actually, if it's honest, you don't even need onus. So the Chiddush HaRan has an interesting line where he says that, you know, sometimes you're in a situation where you don't remember something, but, you know, if you try, if you think about it, try to jog your memory, then it'll be accessible. So that too would constitute not an onus or not emes, but shogeg. And I think that that is kind of a little bit, you know, that's an interesting parallel to our chametz discussions. Because we're discussing whether or not, I just heard myself in the microphone, it was scary. But was it working before that, or just only if I'm closer? You say it's working. Working? Okay. So basically the idea is in chametz as well, that we have a problem. Is it too loud for the Zoom people? Or it's okay? Okay. So basically we have a problem, and that is, like, you know, chametz is eini yadua. So, you know, is he responsible for that? Is that Balyiro Balyimatze? Right? You might even have a bigger problem. What happens in a situation where, again, where you did the bedika, you know, and again, if there is some view that bedika doesn't help you, as we say, like, what more do you want him to do? So far we've tackled that problem in terms of, you know, other aspects of onus and disasek, bekubase, b'shev altase, you know, or, and from the perspective of Bayer Bayimatse itself, how much engagement and interaction and therefore awareness, nichale, do you need, or the opposite, right? Do you have to, you know, take such, you know, preventative steps that, you know, anything less practically than perfection is like a, you know, kumbase slap in the face. That's what we've been discussing. But just like I was suggesting that bedika itself may be the difference maker, right, in considering something like a passive kumbase or a completely passive, like meniach or mekayim as opposed to, well, it's bibitziuso. And just like bedika, right, may be a factor in putting something over the edge. Oh, it's only misasek because he tried, even if he didn't succeed. Or it's only onus because he tried. What we're saying, I think, for the Maram Chalava, right? So this is the same idea, meaning there are situations which are kind of a gray area in the halacha in terms of, you know, both defining truth. Right, it could be a technical truth that isn't a real truth, and there something I want to talk about tomorrow a little bit. But and there can be a situation where, you know, you're onus, but you're not completely onus because you didn't pursue each avenue. The Mekor Chaim himself, this was in response to, like Natan asked the other day, and that was like, you know, I tried to point out that the Mekor Chaim takes a stand on that issue, and that is, is bedika's effectiveness, you know, d'oraisa, d'rabbanan, onus, misasek, is it itself impacted by the option that you have also to do bittul? So that's an interesting question in the halacha in general. You know, when we assess these categories, onus, misasek, you know, shogeg, emes, sheker, kumvase, sheval tasa, etc., to what extent, you know, do we only consider, you know, the objective circumstances, you know, in front of us at the moment? And to what extent is it also required that we calculate, you know, based on either the other options, right? And here I would add something which is true for both Balyira and for Shavuos Eidus potentially, and that is the expectations. Maybe that's the difference. In other words, you could also do bittul. So is that onus? You could jog your memory, right? Is that MS or onus? These are the kind of questions that I'm wondering about. And they're meta-halacha questions, although you might certainly be mechalik between different areas of halacha. So one of the distinctions you might make is, when the expectation is that you go to extraordinary lengths because of the nature of what is at stake, right? Then we might actually, you know, raise, you know, the bar. And this is similar to what I, you know, spoke a lot about, not so much last year, I don't think, but those who were here 2 years ago, we learned about the Kama, You know, we talked about it a lot. Right? If you rely on somebody, and therefore you expect his above and beyond, you know, duty, you know, in watching your object, let's say, right? Or, you know, Shomer, the Rambam Shita Bapashaya Kimazik, meaning the extra achrayus that he takes and the reliance that you have upon him, that ends up transforming how we look at Kumbhase and Sheval Das. I'll just give you examples. And that is true for a whole bunch of different things in halacha. So what I'm saying is that when it comes to Shavuos Eidos, hearkening back even more years, you know, what you're saying is you have an obligation, all things being equal, whatever it's based on, Yachta L'Reacha Kamoka, Yisrael L'Reden, Zelazeh, V'hu Eid, particularly in the matter of Eidos, whatever it is, you have an obligation, right, to provide what he needs here. And therefore, technically, the fact that you don't remember at the moment, but, you know, it's accessible if you were to jog your memory and make more of an effort, or given the fact that when you saw what you saw in many cases, or you should have filed it away because it was impactful in somebody's life, you know, so then not doing that is no longer just emes or onus or misasek. It ends up being, and I wouldn't say egregious necessarily because it's still shogeg, but it ends up being in a way a kind of disregard, you know, for their needs, you know, or for your obligation. And therefore, at minimum, it's not onus or emes or misasek. Maybe it's shogeg, etc. And that's true for chametz as well. That's what we mean about this interface. The more we see the obligation of tashbisu and the isur of bal yiroah, one or the other or both, the more we see them, you know, as you know, being very ambitious, you know, meaning requiring you to take steps to eliminate, you know, to make your home chametz rein, you know, chametz free, a chametz free zone, to make sure that you have no association, you know, with chametz. The more we see that as a kind of kumbase obligation, the less compelling the argument, but it's chametz sheni yadua, right? And that's kind of where we, you know, we're explaining quite a few of these shitas, how bedika either is the, you know, the difference maker here, in terms of mekayim or meniach, as opposed to matsui, or even in terms of ones and misasek, or because of the first, kumvase sheval tase, especially if you were to go in the opposite direction of mekarchat. So that is an important perspective to be aware of. And again, this is one of the things we have to keep weighing about tashbisu and bitol, and that's kind of a little bit what I meant about taking the approach of the Mekor Chayim as well, meaning that, you know, if bitol is going to work, then maybe there's no room for bedika, because maybe it reflects, or maybe not, maybe the opposite is true, you know, or Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim. So again, with regard to Bal Yiroah, it's fascinating. The Gemara later on in Hayamud Beis says, you know, Yochal Yatmin, you know, Yochal, you know, but the Gemara has you have to look all over the place in the Gemaras, and, you know, in the Yerushalmi, in the Rishonim, you know, for the radical, you know, Havaminas also, in either direction. Like, there are some that, like, oh, you know, he, you know, it's not his, so it's fine. Or he doesn't see it, so we don't care. You know, those are like, you know, you really need a very high level of nichale, you know, an interaction. And if you don't have that, you know, there's no bayirah. So you want to ask a question? Did you want to ask a question, Simcha? Oh, I did see you put your hand up, right? Okay. Everybody can ask, just because we're in person, not less of a reason for people to ask. And then the Zoom people can ask too, but I have to give up. Let me pause for a minute just to finish my thought. So the Gemara says, Yochal Yatmin, Yochal, you know, who get a pikadon. You know, the question is, what's the Kamash Milan? The Kamashmalan is, no, there are some standards. Right? Even if you're not, even if it's not right in front of you, it's still Bayura. Or does it go the other way? Have nothing to do with the Schametz, but you didn't, root it out and eliminate it and expel it, from your Rishus, either. So these are the questions, and we'll be encountering them. Like, what are the shiurim of violating Bayura? And what is the nature of Tashbisa? So these are the questions always, and this is how they are connected as well. The Rabbeinu David, I'll just mention this and then I'll take questions, who we discussed the other day as well, who has kind of a combination of Anus and Akiyum Tashbisu. But it's interesting, and I was trying to explain that his Anus is, well, Bedika is Akiyum Tashbisu, but let's say a Bedika Betos, because there was Chametz there, you might say that's not a proper Bedika. And if you do Bedika, that's one thing. That's a Kiyum Tashbisu. But why would it be true if it was a faulty Bedika? That's how I'm interpreting Rabbeinu David. Lo nitna Torah l'melachei asharis. Meaning, you did a good Bedika. Bedika doesn't have to be perfect. Okay. The same Rabbeinu David, I don't know if anybody has a line open to them, but has a line in that piece where he says that if you keep Chametz in your Rishus, la'achar zman isuro, like it's the equivalent of Isra Achila. Like he equates them. That's a very strong line. Anybody have that open in the Rabbeinu David? I forgot to bring Rabbeinu David. I brought a whole bunch of others for him. But does anybody remember that line? Or have that line? Okay, if you find it, let me know and we'll quote it. You have it there? That in that piece, on that base. He has a line in which he says that shihia sachametz la'achar zman isuro is the equivalent of eating it. So again, that's a great, great line, which basically says that, it's interesting from two points of view. Number one, of course, the relationship between, Bal Yiraya and Achila, which we still have to discuss, much more. Obviously, he doesn't think that Bal Yiraya is a siyad d'oraisa of Achila, right? He thinks that both Bayura and Achila themselves represent the Chomer of Chametz. But the idea that, leaving Chametz in your Rishus is like the equivalent of eating it, goes further than that. It basically sees, just like we were talking about Lo Yeyachel, being, kind of passive, connected to the consumption, but not the consumer, or doing the act of consumption. No, because that's what chametz is. Chametz is something that is so toxic that you have to be, completely distanced from it. So in a way, saying that shihiya, lachar, zmani sura, is like achila, that's the degree. Did anybody find it or not? If not, I'll look for it. I'll probably bring it in the next time. Just a point I'm trying to make, highlights this question. Now again, the relationship between Bayura and Achila in terms of types of chametz, in terms of Zman, Lifnei La'achar Isuro, etc., those are still things that we need to analyze. The Sefer Michtam has actually almost like an opposite view. And that is, Sefer Michtam says if you, have neutralized Bayura, I think I mentioned this, the one on the above, does that mean that you can, eat the chametz because you made it into afer bi'alma? So saying shehiyah is like achila, and saying that achila depends on shehiyah are interesting highlights. Okay, so having said that, let me just finish up with the other rishonim and some other perspectives before we actually move on to starting to go through quickly the other gemaras. Before I do, are there any questions here in the room? And any questions on Zoom? Everybody can hear? Everybody's... Okay, great. Does anybody have a question either on Zoom? I could probably... will the microphone work to amplify the Zoom people? Should, right? I guess we'll find out. What? I hope so. Oh, in my, I mean on the computer. There, one second. So, does anybody in the room have a question on anything I've said so far? Okay. So now let's just get everybody more involved. I just somehow lost the... hold on a second. Okay, I think I lost everybody. Everybody still there? Hold on one second.
Yes.
Okay, great. Oh, there you are. Okay. Okay. So, okay, great. So if anybody wants, does anybody in Zoom want to ask a question for a second, for now? Okay. So I just want to talk a little more about the other Rishonim. And I think, you know, most of the Chachmeis Provence and Chachmeis Svarad are you know, on the same wavelength, but there are some differences in nuance. So we've talked about Beit David already. He certainly thinks that it's a kiyum in Tashbisu. We talked about that. The Ran, we started talking about, we talked about it a little bit. What's the takeaway from the Ran, would you say, Josh? We should have like another microphone that we can like. Can you put two microphones here? Who knows? We'll stretch technology. Yeah, go ahead, Josh. Say again? Well, how does he answer for Rashi and what are the issues in the Ran? Just very quickly. Correct. So you're hitting on pretty much on all the cylinders there, or all the points. Meaning the Ran is a very complex piece. We have to also compare it to the Ramban, but we'll wait for the Bittul on that. The Ramban's first piece in Psachim. But basically, as we've already noted, because we've mostly read through the language of the Ran, that the Ran is very rich, but the Ran is also very complex. Right? In a subtle way, at least, he seems to be projecting different things. He seems to be saying, on the one hand, that that Bedika is Tashbisu, and that Bedika is independently Daraisa, right? He basically says that. He quotes the Gemara, which looks for the Makar for Bedika, understands it not to be a reference to, you know, Chippus, you know, kind of a Gili Milsa, but as a real Makar. And definitely thinks that Bedika, I'm sorry, that Tashbisu may include Bedika itself. At the same time, his second raya, that Bedika is Daraisa, to justify Rashi and so on, is from Biur, as we discussed, Rabbi Kiva and Chachamim. And by the way, he also formulates, if anybody has a line, like Midah Rabbi Kiva Nishma L'Rabbanan. It is not such a Dabar Pashut. After all, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that we learn chametz from Nosar, and that's why you need sreif. Okay, does that prove anything about the Rabbanan's view of Hashbasasa b'chol davar? I mean, it's very reasonable to think that if Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan are arguing about Bir Chometz and Rabbi Yehuda is a Din Daraisa, that, you know, the Rabbanan are also Din Daraisa. I think that's very reasonable. But it's still a Mid Rabbi Yehuda Nishma L'Rabba. Anybody have that line? Yeah, go ahead. So he's actually quoting Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yehuda. But the assumption is that everybody agrees, right? Okay. So, but again, what does, you could say, Ma'inyan, you know, Bedika, you know, Le Biur, right? Certainly Tosus thinks that Biur, Chametz, could be Daraisa, is Daraisa. That's actually the definition of Tashbiso according to Tosan Dalet Amud Beis, and yet Tosas doesn't think that Bedikah is Daraisa. Right? So one assumption is that the we equate Bedikah and Biur, that's okay, and somehow that doesn't take it away from it at all. Then in addition to that, I mean, the assumption is that Bedikah and Biur are a kiyum of Tashbisu, you fulfill Tashbisu through them. That's kind of what it says that explicitly. You have that line too? Okay. Where he says that you fulfill Tashbisu through Bedikah. Yeah. We caught most of the lines before, so we don't display. If you have it, great. But then, you know, what's even more curious is that in the continuation, he makes the remark that if you do Bedika, then lo rami ale chiyuv tashbisu, which is not the same as saying kiyum tashbisu. It's that there's no chiyuv tashbisu, correct? So we have all these, you know, if we were trying to be medayik, which we always are, and we're looking for precise language, this mixing of Bedika and Biur and kiyum tashbisu and, you know, minias chiyuv tashbisu, all of these things are problematic. Moreover, he also has a line in which he says, that we discussed this already, you know, he's also tempted about the difference between, you know, the mekaner labo l'mafreya, and he has a terrific line where he says that, you know, if a flawed bedika, you know, would demand, you know, would trigger ba'yiroa l'mafreya, then there would have been a chiyuv bitol misafek, right? That terrific line. And he has the line in which he seems to say that what Bedikah really does is it makes the place and the chametz baduk, or it makes the place baduk, which I guess by extension means that the chametz, it turns it into eini yadua, in a way. But he doesn't mean it in the same way that others might mean it, as I'll explain. So I think the difficulty in the Ran is that there's so much creative energy that you really have like four different formulations, you know, instead of one. Clearly, you know, the Ran, you know, is very, you know, certain that Bedikah is effective. There's no question about that. You know, but doesn't it matter, you know, whether something is a kiyum in Tashbisu or it removes Bayura because of the Shem Baduk, right? Or whether, you know, it's integrated with Biur. Shouldn't those things matter? So I think that's the Chiddush of the Ran. And that is that the other Rishonim are of the opinion, or for the Rishonim, it's an important question how to navigate between some of those different things. In particular, let's say, the question of Bayiro and the question of Tashbisu. As we'll see, you could say that Bayiro and Tashbisu are independent of each other. Right? There's a mitzvah of Tashbisu, and there's an Isra of Bayiro. The Minchas Chinuch has the Safek. You know, do you have to go out and buy chametz in order to fulfill the Tashbisu with it? And does that depend on Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? And we'll talk about it more. But obviously, if you don't, you know, so you'll have ignored the mitzvah of Tashbisu, but you won't violate Bayiro Bayimatze, Chalila. Right? And if these two are different, then the next question to ask is, when you fulfill Tashbisu, right, does that always mean that you have negated Bayiro Bayimatze? Even if they're independent of each other, right, you might say that when you do one, you automatically obviate or preclude the other. So for example, let's say you did a Bedikah, and you know, but you were wrong. You made a mistake. Like in theory, I can imagine that you would fulfill the mitzvah of bedikas chametz, but you wouldn't violate bayirah. I'm sorry, but you would still violate Bayira. Or maybe the opposite. Maybe you showed enough that lo nichala lay, but maybe you didn't do a good tashbisu because it wasn't a perfect bedika. Or no. Even if they're independent, once you've done bedika, once you've done tashbisu, there's no longer bayira. Like, this, these are interesting questions. And if bayira and tashbisu are interconnected, right? Are you concerned by... in which direction are they connected? Meaning, everything is about preventing bayira, and that's what tashbisu is? Or everything is about fulfilling the mitzvah of tashbisu, and it's the ignoring of tashbisu which brings on bayira? That's which drives it. Now, tashbisu certainly starts, you know, at the time of achilek. That's what achilek is partly about. I was going to say partly all about, but that would probably be a stira. So, meaning it says ach b'yamar rishon tashbisu sormi batechem, and Chazal say that refers to achilek time. Chatzos yom yadav. We're going to discuss that a lot. What that means. Do you have balyar b'yimatzei at chatzos? Right, that's an interesting question. We're going to pursue all these questions. They come up here the first time, so we should be aware of them already. So there's a Rashi, which we'll see, and Abdalid, and Rambam, Paragimel Halacha Ches, and actually there's a Ravid on the Rif that sound like Bayira begins early. It begins at Achilek time. Even though in the Psukim, Bayira only is spoken of in the Torah, in the Shivas Yamim. And the Ravid on the Rambam says, I don't know what some of the Rambam is talking about, even though he said the same thing himself on the Rif. But, and a lot of Rishonim attack that Rashi. Let's say you're trying to do Tashbisu, and the question is, but, you know, as you're trying to do Tashbisu, you cross over into Bayira time. Right? Does the fact that you are involved in Tashbisu, does that neutralize the Bayira? So these are all interesting questions. But what I think is the Chiddush of the Ran is that he really thinks that all of them bundle into one. These are all different expressions of the same general idea, maybe not in timing. In other words, if there are factual discrepancies between Tashbisu and Bayira and so on and so forth, and not being Mechuyev as opposed to being Mekayim, I think that what you need to say for the Ran, given what seems to be his lack of precision in this topic, saying four different things, and one of the four different things that he says, by the way, right, is to invoke Rabbi Shmuel. Right? Shnei Dvar Menim Shusa Shalom Asana Kasa Bershuso, Chametz Pesach Bor Bershus HaRabim. And the point that the Ran's making, which is the point of the Ramban and others, which is that means that, you know, it's not that difficult to neutralize Bayira. Okay, but he's really, you know, so he's talking about, you know, neutralizing Bayira. He's talking about, you know, not being obligated in Tashbisu. He's talking about fulfilling Tashbisu. Right? He's talking about, you know, making the chametz in yadua or the makom baduk. There are four different things. And he's talking about bedika and biur. But I think what the Ran really wants is to tell us that all of these things, even if they are somewhat distinctive in the pratim, like when they begin, you know, maybe you can draw distinctions even according to the Ran. But what they're really all about is a package, a bundle, about your relationship to the chametz. And it's the recognition on your part of its toxicity, and therefore the same reason why, you know, you should seek and destroy, not just destroy. The destroy requires the seek, and the seek, you know, kind of is going to be followed up by the destroy. when necessary, when you find something. And is the same reason why passively, seemingly passively maintaining chametz in your rishus is prohibited, even though it's passive, and even though it's yasser b'hanah. So in the end, whether you call it, you don't need tashbisu, you fulfill tashbisu, or it's easy to neutralize bayira, etc. For the Ran, it's all, at least one mechayev with different kiyum, different ways of fulfilling and accomplishing. That's, I think, the chiddush of the Ran is. Okay, any comments on that? No? We need to get some comments just to show that we're really here. Yeah, no questions? Okay. Zoom. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Could this possibly fit a Rivka? And he says that once you die, it's all the difficulty of the
I'm not hearing completely. You want to apply this to the Ritva? He also says there's no, when there's bittul.
Yeah.
But what's interesting also is which they think are ikar. What is ikar and what is tafa? Okay. So again, good, very good. Thank you. So let me talk about in light of that. I think that in this there are different, slightly different perspectives. I want to follow up on that. Yeah. I think he does say that, and when he says that Bidika is Tashbisu, I think that's what he's... I don't think he says it explicitly, but I think he is certainly strongly implying that. But then later on, he goes to the alternative, which is La Rami Alei, right? Mitzvahs Tashbisu. So either he's playing with different formulations, or what I'm trying to say is he's saying slightly different things, but it's the... Tzana Shava, the Mechanem, the Shutaf, that I think is driving all of them for him. So let's talk about the Ritva for a moment. The Ritva holds that, once again, what does Ritva hold? The Bidika Zaraisa, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And what is it? Bidika. Correct? Bidika and Biur. He too thinks Bidika and Biur. But I think that there is a slightly different emphasis in the Ritva and in the Maram Chalava than there is in the Ran, even though, again, they have beginnings of it in the Ran, too. Namely, what would you say? The Ran's language is... Second. On the what? On Bidika, then Bittul. Yeah. Number one, the Ran, excellent, very good. The Ran basically gives you two alternatives. Right? And again, to me, that's actually consistent. He's not really sure, whether Bittul is Bichlal Tashbisu, but there are two types of Tashbisu, or, there's some other Limud. It's not purely Lecha, it's not a technicality like Tosis is Bittul. But for the Ran, there are different ways to negate or to say lo nichale to the chametz. Right? Again, his when he quotes Rabbi Yishmael, it's for bittul. Right? So in the end, if you ask the question for the Ran, what's the relationship between bittul and bidika, or bidika slash bior, bidika slash bior, I would say, is equivalent. There are two equivalent ways to neutralize Bayura, or the whole issue. Bidika, maybe you don't even get off the ground because there's no chi of Tashbisu, and therefore there's no din Bayura mimela. Okay? That's what I would say for the Ram. But there's certainly no Seder Adifus for Bidika and Bior, and certainly not for Bidika alone, over that Abitol. They are equal, and in my opinion, they also kind of work in a similar way. They're different methodologies to accomplish a common goal. Would you agree with that? Whereas, you're 100% correct, whereas the Ritva actually considers Bidika / Bior the superior method of Tashbis. Correct? Even though he's not taking the view of Tosas, now Tosas' view is that Bitul is not Tashbisu at all. Bitul removes the gates Bal Yirah. But there's no Kiyum Tashbisu, according to Tosas. That's not true for the Ran. I'm sorry, that's not true possibly for the Ran. It's not true for the Ritva. So the Ritva says, you have the line? Lav de Mema de Bidika Lo Midaraisa Klal. You have that? Lavade Leisa. The Hikasa Rakamana Tashbisu Saor. Enoloshim Bitul Mamish. Kipshuto Kitarguma. Enoloshim Bior. She Yavareno Mirshusa. This is an important point, too. For the Rishonim, we'll speak about Bior. Right? There are two ways to explain the word Bior. And we'll. When we talk about the details of the bracha, we'll go into this more detail, right? Bior typically means what? Eitan? What? To destroy. Okay, what Sam? I know I'm going to have to do equal zoom here. What else could Bior mean? No, Bior doesn't mean Isur.
No, Bitul.
What else does the word Bior mean? Bitul? Not really. Aaron?
It could be like I got it out of my house. Like
exactly. And that's what they're... Biarti HaKodesh Minabais. Means I banished it from my Rishus. Right? Vidui Maestras. Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. A lot of Rishonim quote Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis, we'll see in a moment, but even more so in Dav Zayin, when they talk about the Nusach HaBrach. Why would you do Bedika? Do you say I'll Bior Chametz? Right? So Eli actually, where's Eli? There he is. Eli made the comment to me about a week ago, right? That Rashi on Dav Zayin Amud Beis, Eli says what?
I think it was that Bior Nami Hainu Bidika.
Can you guys hear when they speak? You could, right? It's amazing. Okay. The Bior Nami Hainu Bidika. Right? I'm trying to, give this share and be awestruck by the technology at the same time. So, Bior Hainu Bidika, because he's trying to explain the Nusach HaBracha. Again, we'll discuss those issues. Why do you say al bior chametz when you're just searching for chametz? So Rashi says bior and bidika are equated. That's fascinating, right? The question is, what does it mean? It could mean that they're one kiyum when you say bior and bidika are the same. Meaning, in both cases, it's lo nichale. In both cases, you're trying to attitudinally and otherwise, demonstrate very clearly your rejection of the chametz. Right? One way by searching for it. And the other case, when you actually find it, burning it, destroying it. You could see it either as a process, seek and destroy. You could see it as, equivalent. It's not two stages. Of course, you only get to do stage two if you find. After seeking, maybe it's no searching and not finding, and knowing or finding and then destroying, they're the same. So it's two stages of one process, or it's two expressions of the same idea. What the Mekor Chaim was saying back in the day, back before, was if you're like Rabbi Yehuda, first you seek, then you destroy. That's Bidika as stage one. For others, as we'll see, Bidika could be the equivalent of Bior. It's the intellectual Bior. If you find it, you've got to destroy it. Maybe even utterly. But, if you don't find it, you can't destroy it. But But if you look and you look seriously for it, then that's significant. Right? But there could be another explanation, a third. Not Bior, not Bedika, the first step of Bior, when you have it, or the only step if you don't. Not Bedika and Bior, both expressions, depending on the circumstances, of, you know, a totally rejectionist posture when it comes to this substance. But another point, and that is that it's really about banishing it, evicting it from your home. Right? Or transforming your home into a chametz-free zone, a chametz-rein zone. In which case, whether it's the banishment of the be'en, or the transformation of the bias in the makom, or your world as an individual, right? You also get something from the language of Bior. Biarti akodesh min habayis. I have expelled it, banished it, right, from my home. So it's fascinating. That's a whole other perspective, right? So the Ritva, again, I think it's clear that the Ran thinks that Bedika and Bior are the same and they're different. Right? They're the same, and therefore you want to prove the Bedika is Daraisa, you can quote Rabbi Yehuda about Bior. Right? And they might even, but they're also different because they're different. And one maybe is a Kiyum Tashbisa, and the other is, you know, Lo Rami Alei Tashbisa, but for the same reason. But for other Rishonim who equated the Bior and the Bittol, it's because either they thought it's Tchila V'Sof, or this is all you can do and there you can do more, or it's because of this other perspective, namely that what you're really doing is you are transforming your world and minimum your Rishus. And that's what's going on. In that sense, Haina Bior, Haina Bittol. Right, Ellie? You agree? Putting Ellie on the line a lot, you know. Okay. So, now let's go back to the Ritva. The Ritva, as you correctly point out, right, doesn't think that Bittol and... doesn't think that, you know, Bittol is Lechud, you know, and Bior is Lechud. But what do they think about Bedika? La remember the Bedika lo midaraisa kla, vane leisa, v'chi kasar v'chamana tashbisa sa'ar, en alashon Bittol mamish, kipshuto, o kentargumo, el lashon Bior shi yivarenu mirshuso. Meaning getting it out, getting rid of it from your rishus. Not destroying it in the world, necessarily. Udamar v'gamara v'kiva omer etc. Elevada elikula alma bedika midaraisa. But since Bior is doraisa, because that's what the Ran did, right? You can prove from Bior bedika. My darmina begamar bebitol bealma sagi. Hachamin and kolhecha de avid bitol. Right? Lo rami alei mitzvas bedika. What a change in fortune from the Ran. Right? What did the Ran say? If you do bedika, then lo rami alei tashbisu. And what does the Ritva say? If you do bedika, then lo rami alei. I'm sorry. If you do bittol, lo rami alei mitzvah bedika. The real mitzvah is the bedika. The bittol, right, negates the chiyuv. And in that sense, the Ritva's view is not that bittol is independent, but the bittol is the peripheral or the secondary meaning of tashbisu. Right, again, for the Ran, bittol and Bidika slash B, or both can come under the rubric of Tashbisu. But for the Ritva, Ikar Tashbisu is Bitul Biur, which means Pinuya Bias, right? And secondarily, not like Tosas, that it's a totally different, you know, Makar, or a totally different concept that only affects Balyura, right? Secondarily, you know, it'll your yotze tashbisu lo rami ale mitzvahs bedika v'chadik lishna bitul bi'alma sagi. He thinks it means, you know, it's a kind of b'di'evet. Afa bishakasa b'bitul sagi b'diksiv tashbisu v'lo ksiv tivaru alma tashbisu b'levi. That's ikar definition of tashbisu. Eim is a gilui das she yizmo rabbeinu de b'dikas kamitz rabbanu alakach amar. It's it sounds like he, again, Lemaisa, he doesn't think that the only time bitul work, you don't need bedika, is if you're onus. But even the fact that he writes it, by the way, it's interesting to use the language of onus, right? Even the fact that he writes it this way is consistent with the view that the Ikar Tashbisu is Bedika slash Biur, with a heavy emphasis, frankly, on Bedika. And Bitul is also Tashbisu, i.e., which is another way of saying, even though it's not exactly the same way of saying, you don't need to do the Ikar Tashbisu if you did the secondary Tashbisu. Larami Alei Mitzvahs Bedika, because you're Mekayim, since the Torah wasn't explicit about Bedika and Biur, it left room peripherally for Bitul, as opposed to the Rishon will think, like the Rambam, that the Ikar Mitzvah is Bitul. Right? As opposed to Tosfos who think that Bitul is nothing to do with Tashbisu, and opposed to the Ran who thinks that they're equal. The Achilek a beer lechudkoi, right? Nimtzes, that doesn't apply to bitul. Nimtzes lamad shemitzvaso bebiur, even though he said before bedika, el di bitlo mi kara sula rami alei mitzvah. Umir rabban lechivu levatal al kapanim ki a bitul motzi mikol chashash. The bedika daraisa vezuhi mitzvaso. So the Ritva is subtly different than the Ran. He emphasizes, number one, Pinuy and Abayas. He emphasizes Bedika and Biur interchangeably, but certainly Bedika is preferable to Bitul, turns everything on its head. Exactly the opposite of some other views. Now, having said that, let's look, I think, also at the Maram Chalav. Okay? Yeah. It sounds like one place it sounds like, you know, what the Ran says about Bedika, that Lo Rami Alei Tashbisu, it sounds like that the Ritva saying that if you do Bitul, then Lo Rami Alei Bedika. However, I think if we read it carefully, what he really means to say is that Tashbisu includes Bitul, but as a secondary option. And since it's not the primary option, it's still accurate to say Lo Rami Alei Mitzvahs Bedika. He's not saying Lo Rami Alei Tashbisu, which is what the Ran says about Bedika. He's not saying that about Bitul. He's saying Lo Rami Alei Bedika and Biur as Tashbisu, meaning there's a peripheral and a core definition here, and the core one has been precluded, by the peripheral one. Right? I'm sorry we're spending so much time, but it's important to get these things as straight as we can, anyway. So the Maram Chalava also is very fascinating. What would you say about Maram Chalava? Micah? See it? Maram Chalava? How would you characterize it? Again, there are a whole bunch of interesting things there. How would you characterize it? He too, like the Ritva, I think that's why there's an escalation here, I think. Like the Ritva, and again, this is different than Rabbeinu David also. Rabbeinu David also in the Chachmei Svara. Right? So we have the Ran, we have Rabbeinu David, we have also the Kiyum Tashbisu, we have the Ritva, right? And now we have the Ram Chalav, which is Chachmei Provence, but also from this Tkufa. So what would you say? It's close to the Ritva, right? He too thinks that Bedika is primary. He too thinks that what? What is Bedika? A Kiyum and Tashbisu and the Ikar Kiyum and Tashbisu, maybe. But in addition to that, he too seems to emphasize, and again, we'll be going back to this as we go forward, and the details, he too seems to emphasize Bedika, Tashbisu, not in terms of the Be'en of Chametz. Of course, sometimes it expresses itself that way. But primarily in terms of Pinui Habayas, Taharas Habayas. Okay? So listen to this. Belinir, I'm going to read it just because it's a microphone. Everyone can hopefully hear. Belinira. Second. Belinira. Dafil de Debrayim Enkan Kushal Rashi. The Iyo lo pasak lemim de Kolshalo Badak over. El de Kolshal Badak Shuv Eno over. Ala Nivdak. Which also is kind of an interesting clue. Meaning, Rashi's saying the Gemara never said, you know, Rashi's saying, I never said that you violate Bayur unless you do Bedika, to answer Tosis, the Bitul B'yama Sogile. What I did say was that if you do Bedika, you're not going to violate Bayur. That doesn't mean it's the only methodology. Right? Umikomokom, Mistabra kepashta de mosa de bdika doraisa. Eavagav de siv tashbisu metargamin and tevaklun la bitul bepeh kaamar. He doesn't think that bitul is included at all in tashbisu. Like Tosas. Okay? So it's not bitul bepeh. Ela she yivatlenu min habayis. Vaino de siv mi batechem. Fascinating limud. Right, it's a din in batechem. Right? Tashbisu bi batechem. That's the emphasis on make your home, you know, purge your home from chametz. Not just destroy chametz in your home. It's a din in the home. V'hainu desim bi batechem. U'lebitul bepeh lamali bi batechem. Well, I don't know. That's an interesting phenomenon. That's an interesting ha'ara. I mean, he could have said, well, when you do bitul, and you say, Harezek ha'afredara, so haven't you made your home purged from chametz? The answer is, what you've done is you've made a statement about, you know, your own perception of chametz. To you, it's afredara. Then mimela, from your perspective, you know, you don't have chametz in your home. But certainly the focus is on, you've kind of intellectually, you know, neutralized or attacked the chametz. But the Maram Chalava wants you, again, whether all the Yishonim are going to be consistent, you'll see going forward there are some problems. But at least, you know, we do what we can. What I'm trying to show is that even among the group, the B'dika Zaraisa means very different things. It means different things from the Kar Chaim, it means different things for the Ran, different things for Ben David, different for the Ritva, and even different for the Maram Chalav. Haynu dosim mi batechem, lebitul peh lamali mi batechem, and then teidalach. Da'atznan lekaman perikol shor, b'yudu ma'im bir chametz ala b'sreifa. Chacham se mefar v'zor l'ruach. The Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda learns out from Nosa. Alma shema minaki hechidul Rabbi Yehuda midoraisa, hachanami l'rabana. This is even, right Kyle? This is even a stronger formulation than in the Ran, although it's implicit in the Ran. But what is he also doing? Right? Bedika, he's mixing up Bedika and Biur. Once you mix up Bedika and Biur, I mean, the Bali Tosas, of all we've shown him, the Bali Tosas are the biggest Biur people. Because they pasken like Rabbi Yehuda, and they think that Tashbisa means Bima. They just don't want to have any, they just don't think that has anything to do with Bidika. Right? Hachanami the Rabbanon, the Pliku Biro Bimai. They're only arguing about what? They're not arguing whether it's Zaraisa. The Chitema, Ad Kamo Pligi Ala Bizmani Sura, Ava Balaila, the Kodami Suro, Minolan, the Lake Amandam Shamani Palali Yad Sarach Lasarfo, Tash the Bachila Mutter, Koske Litno Lagoy or Lefire Baruach. So now he's asking the question, what does Bior prove about Bidika, which is 24, or not 24, what is it, 12 hours earlier? Balaila, Bekodim Yisur, Minolan Delekem Andomar, Shambodik Balaila Yitzarech Lesarfo? No one says that you have to burn it then. You can eat it, you can give it away. So if you can eat it and give it away, there's no Bior, how does Bior prove that Bidika is Doraisa? That's not a really good answer, but it's telling. What is the Maram Chalava saying? He says, you're right, you could say this, but at minimum what we've said is that Tashbisa doesn't mean bitol, it means biur. The Pasuk is talking then specifically about Zmani Suro. Rabbanan Achmor Livdo Kodem Lachain Umishum Lasah Doraisa. Okay, so he's no longer saying that Bidika's the main, like the Ritva seem to be saying, relative even to Bior, but he is saying that it's a Kiyum Doraisa if it isn't the Chiyuv Doraisa, right? Or it's Kain Doraisa. Sounds like it's a Kiyum Doraisa. The Tedalach, because this is only forced into this because of the discrepancy between Bior and Bidika and the 12 hours. The Bidika Mir Doraisa, like says it is a Kiyum Doraisa, Dotan Rabbi Yudomer Bodkinar Orlar Basar Ubar Basar Shachris Ubishas Bior. Because Al Kadaitach Davka Kamar Deboy Mevad Kol Elo Bidikos. Now that's a Havamina. We'll see later on, Daf Yudomer Beis, the Gemara is a Havamina, that there are three Bidikos. Can you bring a raya from a Havamina? Sure, we do it all the time. Meaning, what the Maram Chalava is saying is, in the Havamina, they certainly must have thought that there was a formal din bedika. It wasn't just for the sake of identifying chametz for the minchas chinuch so you can burn it, you know? So there won't be bal yirah, right? Or it won't be egregious bal yirah. Or whatever. Or if there is chametz, to do biur on. Because if that were the case, do you really need to do the same thing three times in such close proximity? But if there's a concept of ridding your home of chametz, and of course that expresses itself particularly by the biur, taking it, finding it, and destroying it, that emphatically, not just negates it, but highlights how incompatible its presence is with the home that you need to be projecting during this Schiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim period. Correct? Having said that, three times, the answer is yes. It's like a process. You can almost hear the Hinani Muchans, Mezumans. How many brachos? At night, again, as you move towards, the different deadlines, right, each time there's a kiyum in Bidikas Chametz. Right? Shachris, b'shas bir. So kadai from Dafka kamar, d'boi mevad, kolel abdikos. Right in the b'gamar, my taima, keneged gimel hashpasa shabatora. So what do you see? That Bidika is called hashpasa on the Havamina. Tashbisu. Vod, Armina, the Kaman, Abodek, Tzorich, Sheivata. Right? And so on. Shemi Yimatze, Gluske, Yafe, Vidaitele, Yomri, Bidl, Bidaisa, Mai, Kaboile, Mai, Taima, Yafagav, the Bodak, Akati, Losan, Vahi, The Shema lo badak yafa yafa. The kol shelo bitel. Ha'avra ba'yira ba'imatze. Rachmana bitel atzrechei. Okay, if you don't have a perfect bedika, there's going to be a process. There's still reason for bitel. But bedika still has a role. Shmamina, delikula alma hashbasa daraisa, hainu bedika. So tashbisu daraisa means bedika and biur. Maybe biur more than bedika, but bedika more than bitel. Ubitel dila achar bedika, drabanan. Vahi amrina de bedaraisa bebitel bialmasagi. Not because it's included in the pasuk or it's preferred. Here, basically, the Marm Chalava is dismissing bitul like as like a tosis kind of bitul. Lemaisa, there's no ba'ira. Not like the Ritva, right? Who thought it was a secondary tashbisu, and not like the Ran, who thought it was an equal tashbisa. V'lav didei lo ka'ovar nishalcha yata roa. Hilkach mai domer rabbanu le'sagi le'bebita le'bedika adavka nud rabbanan. Hilkach ibadik afagav de lo batil yishtaka chomet bizmani suro lo over l'mafreya de lo chiva rachmana amai de lo yada. That's interesting. I mean, chomet she'ene yod, this made it chomet she'ene yodua. Chomet she'ene yodua, you're not chayiv ba'yiroa for him. That's what put it over the top. Not Masasek, not Ones, necessarily. Maybe Bal Yirah. Miu kedemashkechla imashila avar alei vibatale miikara, right? Suloi avar alei afag elem kein daiti lave deboi l'schuyebe. That's Shemiyah Matzenguska Yafa, which we still have to. In any case, you see that in a very subtle way there's a range of different views in the Rishon. Okay, when is Mincha? Usual 2:30, or we have another few minutes? You have another couple of minutes. I want to finish it if I can. So it's going to take another couple of minutes. We're supposed to have Mincha after, though, right? Are there actually real classes in person, or is everything on Zoom? Most on Zoom. Okay. But still they start at 3, I assume. Yeah. Okay, so I'll just give me another couple of minutes just to make another couple of quick points. Okay. So just let me talk quickly about another couple of shitas. There are many Rishonim who seem to say, well, what is a Rambam shita? That's one question. So the Rambam is complicated, and we're going to get back to it. David, what do you think? David Gelbtuk, what do you think of the Rambam shita? What's your impression?
So if you just read the girsa that we have, it sounds like you really only need bitul midaraisa. However, Kesef Misha brings up another girsa, which sounds a little different.
Okay, so that you're talking about whether or not, and this is a topic that we still have to discuss, whether bitul works for chomet she'ena yadua. Correct? Yes? Okay, so that's a girsa question. That's also the Michtam. That's the Meiri. We will discuss that problem extensively. I'm more interested in the moment, David, in what you think the Rambam thinks about Bedika. Like, what kind of din is it? I mean, what you were talking about is halacha beis. By the way, the Rambam, every halacha in Perek Aleph practically, or maybe every halacha, is mechudash. That was our Agdama. Right? You know, from Halacha Aleph through the end. We didn't do, I think, the last one, the extensions. I'll talk about them still. Right, the Dinim, the Ram Paskin, we have a few things we didn't talk about. The Ram Paskin's like Rabbi Yehuda, which is very mechudash, about Lifnei Zmano. And we still have to talk about, you know, Shalshishis and Shalchamishis. There are still a few things to talk about in the Rambam and Perek Aleph, but certainly the ones that we've seen already, each one is mechudash and highlights a certain perspective. Okay, I think a consistent perspective. Perek Beis in the Rambam is where he speaks about tashbisu. Mitzvah Saseh min HaTorah, right? Lahashbis, Hechametz, the Rambam is Chidushim here too, which we're going to discuss extensively. Kodem Zmani Suro, Kodem Zmani Suro Achilasa. Shenemar B'yama Rishon Tashbis Suro Mipatechem, as opposed to Balitosis, who think, and Avdalid and so on, that Tashbisu is Lachar Zmani Suro, or Ad Zmani Suro. The Rambam thinks it's Lifnei Zmani Suro. Very important. Shenemar B'yama Rishon Tashbis Suro Mipatechem, Piyashmu Lomdu, Rishon Zeu Yomar Basa, we'll get to all this Rambam. Umayash Basa Zu Amur B'Torah, right? Who was I asking? David? So what is it? Here's where you have Girsol's questions. But he certainly starts with what?
He understands his
Basa
as
Bittel. As Bittel. Sheivat Elachametz Belibo, the Yachshavoso Ka'afar, the Yasim Belibo Shem Rishusa's Chametz Ka. Strong formulation. Shkol Chametz Rishusa or Ka'afar. Question is, does he also have the girsa that says she yasir achametz hayadua lo mershuso b'she'eni yodea yivat lo? Does he also have that yasir chametz hayadua mershuso? That's a question, a girsa question. The Rambam, what's his view about bitul b'chametz hayadua, and is there a tashbisu in addition to bitul or not? Now, how the Rambam works in tashbisu being bitul and also paskin like the chachamim, the hashbasasa b'chol davar. Whether that's connected, you know, either way, how does he... We'll get to that. Interestingly, he only speaks about that in Parag Gimel. The din of a biur, in other words, Rabbi Yudah and the Chachamim, is in the Rambam Parag Gimel. Very fascinating. Okay, but what I'm interested in at the moment is Halacha Gimel. What's Halacha Gimel, David?
Right, so he says that in the difference of the Chavish Afra Chachamit, the Makbo's
Yeah.
So he calls
Bedika. He quotes Bedika, not with Biur, unless you have the Girsa, right? But he quotes Bedika independently in the context of Bittel. He calls it Dibrei Sofrim, which, as we know, is always a tricky, you know, formulation, but in my opinion, always something that connotes more than a typical drabanan, maybe a kiyum daraisa, maybe a drabanan kain daraisa. And listen, the language itself is fascinating. L'chapes achra chometz v'machbos v'chorim v'livdo kolotzia v'kol gevulo v'chei medivrei sofrim shibot kemash bisan achometz b'laylam mitchil aslel yedalad oraner. Right? Is the Rambam's divrei sofrim only on the Laila and Machbos and Chorim? Is it possible he thinks that Bedika is a din daraisa or a kiyum daraisa, mamish, in a broader way? Or is it actually only in these contexts that it's even Medivrei Sofrim? Hard to know. We'll talk about the Ketzel Mishnah. I guess we'll have to stop here. I'm just going to take another few minutes next time just to finish up speaking about the Rambam. I want to speak briefly about, I think I mentioned some of the other Rishonim, just, you know, as a counterpoint, that'll take a minute. But look at the Rambam here, the Kesef Mishnah. And I still just want to speak about the 2 days of the Yerushalmi. Aleph, where the Yerushalmi's view of Bedikas Chametz. And then we want to move on to the Shakotari and the Gemara. We'll start, you know, trying... I do want to speak a couple of minutes about the Yom and Laila. It's also, you know, close to Bereishis and... Either way, it's an interesting Raivid. The Raivid and Balamor mentioned here in the beginning. Also, just that Tosis already asked the question in terms of Yom and Laila about the Gemaras and in Bamei Madlikim about Shkia and Tseis. I'm not going to spend much time. It's a massive Zmanim topic. Obviously, we're not going to discuss it. But just to be aware of the Gemara, of course, in Bamei Madlikin, and the Gemara later on in Pesachim, in the Korban Pesach parts of Pesachim, and of course the famous Shita of Rabbeinu Tam about Shkia and the Gra. I'm just going to talk about it for a couple of minutes, and then I'm going to speak about Kochavim for a couple of minutes, the Nor Bihuda and the Tshuva. I think it's also quoted in the Shita Mukubetzes on Pesachim, the one that was put together by Rav Gershuni I think he quotes the relevant passage. It's a well-known discussion of Noda Yehuda, whether we paskin that way or not. And then when we get to, you know, maybe talk about Machteris for a couple of minutes, the Rashi and Tosis, and then a little bit about why Rabbi Yehuda wasn't Olah L'Regel and didn't bring his own Korban Pesach, with some interesting Achronim discussion on that very quickly. Then I'm going to spend a little bit more time on Rabbeinu David here, and the status of Isur Malacha on Erev Pesach. Not to do it extensively, but I want to do you know, Rashi and Tosis on the beginning of Makom Shenagu, and again on Daf, what is it, on Nun, and then again on Nun Hey, the two Mishnayos, and the Rambam Shita, just very quickly. But I mostly want to get to Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay? So we'll speak just a few more minutes about Bedikas Chametz. Of course, there'll be plenty of other opportunities to fill in those blanks. And then a little bit quick Shaka Vitaria to get us to Dalet Amud Aleph. And just filling in with some Ha'aros on the way. Okay, so we'll stop here. So the Shir Thursday will be here, you know, for those who can make it. And if there are any comments about how we can improve the hybrid, or either or,